Willie, we've talked to this guy when he was a college basketball analyst at ESPN. Now he's back on the coaching sidelines as an assistant at Louisville. We always enjoy talking to Dino Gaudio. Dino, how you doing?
I'm doing great, fellas. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for doing this. You know, we had a little fun with Tim Corbin. He's Vanderbilt's baseball coach earlier this hour, and we said, you know, if you had a 7'6" player, where would you put him? And, of course, you know, he said the obvious choice would be first base, but, man, if he could run and had an arm, I'd have him in the outfield just because of how big he is. But what a dynamic, and how fun was that game yesterday?
Yeah, that was great. Hey, how about if we put Taco on the mound at 7'6", and that when he takes that stride and he lets the ball go, he'd probably be, what, 10 feet away from the batter?
Would he be that? Yeah.
He probably has a pretty good tilt on a slider, too.
Yeah, if he had some nasty stuff, can you imagine him on the mound? Wow.
Yeah. But no, what a great, great game. And give Johnny Dawkins a lot of credit. You know, he rolled the dice and put, you know, Taco on Trey on the point guard and then left him in the lane. And sometimes when you're an underdog and you feel like, hey, I got to make some adjustments. If we're going to beat this team, we got to go out of what might be the norm for us. And it, you know, worked really, really well. I just feel bad for Johnny and you know, Aubrey, his son, played so well, and if he'd have just, you know, he might have got pushed a little bit, but if he'd have just boxed out on that left side of the lane a little harder, you know, Barrett maybe doesn't come up with that offensive rebound off the free throw and put it back in. But man, a lot of emotion when you play against people that you like and love, like Coach K and Johnny Dawkins. That's a tough game to go against somebody, especially in the NCAA tournament.
You've been in this for so long, and you've seen all this. And I want to ask you, how tough is it? Because from an outsider's perspective, just watching, you're screaming at your television. You're like, what are you doing? How could you let this team come back? I mean, certainly Tennessee fans experience that. They're up 25. They're in cruise control against Iowa. And then all of a sudden, and you guys experienced that this year at home against Duke. You're up, what, 24 midway through? What is that like going through as a coach whenever you can feel everything shifting momentum the other way for the opponent and you're trying to stop the bleeding?
Yeah, I mean, you're doing a little bit of Dr. Phil in those huddles. I mean, you're talking to these guys, and it's like, you know, like when they're starting to cut into the lead, you know, I remember, like, the coaches were huddled up, and you know, I jump into our huddle with the players and say, let me tell you guys something. What you're thinking right now is really, really important. You got to believe that we're going to finish this thing off, right? You start nodding and they start nodding. You know what I mean? Because as it starts to slip away, the psychological part of it is so important. And then a second time when we go into that huddle, and now all of a sudden it's like a four-point game, it's like, fellas, we need to be aggressive. We're playing a little too tentative right now. Listen, if we're going to make a mistake, let's make it on the side of aggression instead of being on our heels. And you're just trying to get them to believe in that, to be a little more aggressive, to be a little more assertive. Because as we all know, because I do it as a coach, I'm taking a peek at the scoreboard, how much time's left, and you're waiting for that darn thing to run off the clock there. But it's difficult. And, you know, I just have great respect for Tennessee. And I told people all along, and we played Virginia twice, I think that's the team that's going to go ahead and come out of that South region right there. You know, we played them up in Barclays earlier in the year, and there's not a team that we play that was tougher, more physical than that Tennessee team we played. And I think all of those ingredients bode well. You know, they keep moving along here, and if they end up playing Virginia, and I love Tony Bennett, and we both play pack line defense, but I just think Tennessee's a really, really good basketball team.
We're talking to Dino Gaudio, assistant coach at Louisville. And, Coach, this is one of the reasons why we had you on. You've played so many of these teams here. But real quick, let's talk about your program, the one you're involved with now. I've always enjoyed watching Chris Mack's teams. And coming over to Louisville, jumping into the situation you guys did, how did you guys assess the season? I thought you guys had a pretty solid year given the tough schedule. And you know, when you get to the tournament, it's never a bad year.
No, it isn't. You know what, guys? If when we took the job in April a year ago almost, and They just said, hey, listen, you're going to win 20 games with one win in the ACC tournament. You're going to win 11 ACC games and go to the NCAA tournament. I think we'd have had a parade. We would have been excited as could be. Because when we got the job, we had seven guys on scholarship. And then we went out and grabbed three graduate transfers because as we looked at the 2018 recruits sort of in April and May of last year, we didn't think there was anybody that could come in and impact for us, and we needed to do that. So we picked up a really good point guard in Christian Cunningham out of a graduate student out of Samford down in Alabama. We picked up Quan Four out of Richmond and a young man named Akoi Agao who had three knee surgeries, two ACLs that came in and stabilized our front court a little bit. And those guys are really instrumental in turning the thing around for us because you guys know there was so much negativity surrounding the program. And when we came in and give Chris Mack a tremendous amount of credit, he told those kids like, hey, we get an NCAA tournament team here. You'll never hear me say, when I get my guys, when we bring in our guys, you're my guys. We're going to win. We're going to win with you guys. Now, we were disappointed the way we played against Minnesota. And you know, that's not the standard we want to set here, like just going to the tournament. But in hindsight, I thought we had a good year, not a great year, a really good year under somewhat adverse circumstances. But I told Richard Pitino this. We were sitting down before the game. I said, Richard, you tell your dad that these are really, really nice kids that we got in this program, and they want to be in the gym. And I don't know if, you know, he finds any solace in that, but they were great kids. And, you know, the prior staff deserves a lot of credit for the young men that were here when we got here.
Dino Gaudio is with us. And Dino, I want to ask you about something I'm seeing a lot, and the range of some of the shooters now is really pretty impressive where you can go. They already moved the 3-point line back a few years ago. Now you guys, you see now people very comfortable shooting from the NBA line, maybe a little further out, and you have to defend these guys. They're going to make the shots. And so with that, I'm seeing more 3-point shooters getting fouled. I remember when I was playing, that was like the kiss of death. You could not foul a 3-point shooter. But now it's like you have to contest those shots. Tennessee fouled a 3-point shooter at a critical spot yesterday. UCF's 3-point shooter got fouled by a Duke player. It seems to be happening more. I guess it's a credit to the shooters.
It really is, and I agree completely. These guys have such – we have a kid on our team now, Jordan Wara, and another little guy, Ryan McMahon. And I'm telling you, they're shooting from a good 3 feet behind the NBA line. And, you know, when we practice and when we do shooting in practice, we'll shoot threes from the collegiate line, and we're always saying, hey, start at the NBA line, left-right if you're right-handed, step into the shot, left foot, right foot, and then I'll tell you what, I'll be honest, we practice shots beyond the NBA line. Now, when I was at Wake Forest, you know, whatever it was, 8-9 years ago, if my guard coaches were doing that, I'd be screaming at them. Are you guys out of your mind? Where the heck is he shooting from? But you're right, kids have deep, deep range now, and subsequently, you got to go out and guard them, and we know, A, you have to defend a three. You know, and his coaches were all screaming, never foul a jump shooter, never, never, never foul a three-point shooter. But that's how he's starting to create so much good spacing as well for you on an offensive end when you have guys that could shoot like that. And, you know, we see that from the NBA with Golden State and how that trickles down to our game. But I agree. There's, you know, we'll watch kids on tape, and I'm watching film on guys, and I'm going, damn. He is out there deep. And we'll show those to our players. Like, don't be surprised when he lets this thing go. And don't be surprised if it goes in. We got to press up and get out there and get a hand on these guys.
It was interesting to watch UCF. They went the opposite way with a lot of Duke shooters, daring them to shoot, just backing off further, saying, no, here, I'm not even going to come out at you. You shoot this, and we'll take our chances here. What that looks like that's how you're going to have to try to defend Duke. How did you guys try to go about it?
Yeah, we felt the same way. We didn't think they were a great three-point shooting team. We had to try to keep them out of transition. And your offense has a lot to do with that. Mike's now a little bit more out in passing lanes like he used to be when we first jumped into the ACC when he had Jay Williams in those guys. So, number one, to beat Duke, your offense is an important part. And I don't mean that from just a scoring perspective, but you can't turn the ball over against them because they're so good, they're so athletic in transition. You want to make it a five-on-five proposition from a defensive perspective when you play the Blue Devils. And we did a really good job of that. That's how we got off. And then what we tried to do to negate Zion a little bit, especially on the boards, we told our point guard, like, when that shot goes up, we want you also running in and try to put a body on Zion so that we would have sort of two guys boxing him out, because the other team's point guard isn't going to go to the offensive glass. His responsibility is conversion defense. He's going to get back defensively. So I'll tell you, for the 3 days prior to playing them, when the shot went up in practice, our point guard ran in and boxed out the guy that was simulating Zion for our scout team, and that's an important part too. But fellas, let me tell you something. I've been doing this a long time. I've never seen a kid like that, Zion Williamson, that's so big and so strong with fast twitch muscles like that kid. And this is the most important part. Damn, does he play hard.
Yeah.
He just plays so hard. What a big engine that kid has. And that's the other thing that makes him good, his body, the physicality, the athleticism. But man, does he play hard all of the time.
I remember, Dino, we had Wes Durham on last week, and we were talking about Zion, and he said, think about when Julius Peppers played. Now, tack on this and tack on this to that frame, and that's Zion Williamson. And we were like, wow, that's putting
NFL
things in perspective.
Defensive end kind of stuff.
Right,
yeah.
Hall of Famer. I mean, just –
they can move like that.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I think you let the cat out of the bag. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of eyes in these parts here in Nashville at your home court starting on Thursday. Purdue, Tennessee, then the nightcap, Oregon, Virginia. Like I said, I was going to ask you who comes out of Louisville this weekend. I think you just said it. You believe it's Virginia?
I think, and you know, I'm an ACC guy, so don't say this too loud. I think Tennessee. I just like them so much. I just think, like I told you, when we played them in Barclays, there's not a team I was more impressed with all season. And you know, we played obviously three of the number one seeds that came out of the ACC, and Carolina, Virginia, and Duke. You know, we played Kentucky, who's really, really good. We played the third best schedule in America. I just really like Tennessee coming out of there. I just think that they're physical. They have the experience. They score at a higher rate than Virginia does. So if it ends up being those two teams, I see, Tennessee coming out of the South.
Wow, that's outstanding. Hey, we've always enjoyed our visits with you over the years. Thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. If I could help you any time down the road, let me know.
Sounds good. That is Dino Gaudio, Louisville assistant men's basketball coach. Back to wrap up Monday's edition of Darren and Donick next.